Good morning and happy Sabbath, Franktown Church family. It is good to see you all today and to be able to worship with you this morning. I see a lot of red and pink out in the audience today. Lots of red and pink out there. One quick announcement today before we get started. We have children's choir practice after potluck today. So if you have any kids who would like to join in our children's choir, it's a great choir. And if you've heard them sing a little bit, you know that they sound really, really good and would love to have your kids be involved in our children's choir. About 15 years ago, myself and a bunch of my friends decided we were going to go be student missionaries. And we were attending Southern Adventist University at the time in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And it ended up, we started looking. A bunch of people were going to the South Pacific Islands. We have a whole bunch of Adventist schools in the South Pacific Islands. Really, just a ton of them. And they're all run by volunteers. Most of them are run by college students who go and take a year off from school and go and teach at these schools. And they are usually some of the better schools in the islands because they don't have a great education system out in the South Pacific. And all of the teachers that come are Western educated and whatnot, or in college, or at least working on getting a college degree. And so these schools actually end up being quite big. The school that I taught at was on the island of Ponape. Anybody ever heard of Ponape before? Ponape is in the South Pacific. It's about, an hour flight east of Guam. If anybody knows where Guam is, or anybody been to Guam before? A couple people have been to Guam. Anybody been to Ponape before? One person's been to Ponape. Ponape is a little piece of heaven on earth. It is beautiful. Just one of the most amazing places that I've ever been. And I'm going to show you a couple pictures today. You're going to get to see some pictures of me as a much younger man. This is a beach on one of the outer islands called Ant Atoll. And we would go camping on the weekends to some of these different beautiful places. This place was just amazing, though. Just a beautiful spot. This is one of the waterfalls inland, and that's me cliff diving on there. It's about a 35-foot cliff called Twin Falls, because right behind where those guys are standing, there's about an 80-foot waterfall that lands on the rocks, and so we didn't jump off of that one. But just an absolutely beautiful spot. Anybody recognize the guy on my right? Daniel Santa Cruz, and I think he's in the back with his daughter. This Daniel and I were student missionaries at the same time on this island, and when I showed this picture to Josh, my son, last night, he said, "Who are those guys?" And I was like, "Really? Recognize the guy there on the left? No, who is that?" I was like, "That's me." This was a sunset. I've never seen such sunsets in my whole entire life as I've seen out in the South Pacific. Absolutely mind-blowing sunsets. And I think I have another one coming up here. You can see the jungle in the back. This was a little river where we used to go swimming after school sometimes after we were done teaching. This beautiful, beautiful river. And just out in the jungle, they have freshwater eels that I've heard were in this river, but we never actually saw any, but just a beautiful, beautiful place to live. Here's another picture of a sunset. This is taken just after that last sunset picture. The most amazing sunset I've ever seen in my whole life. Just mind-blowing, the colors that God put up in the sky at this sunset. Bunch of flowers in Ponape. I'm not kidding when I said this place was absolutely the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. All kinds of flowers, and these are the ones that were growing around the house. Purple ones, closely blending in up on the middle of that palm tree, you will see me hanging out. This is again on Ant Atoll. This is, it was just a place like a postcard. It was like living in a postcard for a year. Just an absolutely beautiful place. And yet, my buddies and I couldn't wait to leave. We were all American kids, and we'd gotten used to living in this other place a little bit, but boy, did we miss home. And the first half of the year was pretty good, but by the second half of the year, we were like, man, we miss Taco Bell, we miss the cafeteria, we miss going on dates with girls, we missed a whole lot of stuff about America, we miss our moms cooking. There was no Taco Bell, and there was no mom to cook for us. And so a bunch of these 21-year-old guys trying to figure out how to cook, we missed food. We missed our own beds. I had a gecko join me in bed one time, to which I've never moved so fast in my whole entire life. We had two big geckos about this big that would run around on the walls of our apartment. We called them Hans and Franz. And they would just run all over our apartment. But we had this calendar. And it was some surfing calendar. It's actually, when we were there, nobody really knew about the surf spot there. It's called P-Pass or Palakir. And we used to go surfing there all the time, and it was just amazing. Now you can see this break on the front of surfing magazines. It's one of the top five surf spots in the world now that somebody's found it. And it's in the front of magazines and all kinds of things, but we had it all to ourselves back then. But we had this surfing calendar that we had up in our kitchen, which our kitchen was an absolute mess. I would be horribly embarrassed if any of you saw what we lived like. A bunch of five of us bachelors, 21 years old. But we had this great surfing calendar, and we had a red marker. And we'd gone through, and every morning we'd get up and we'd be like, okay, we get to put another X on the calendar. And we'd get there, and all of us would get together, and we'd put a big fat X, and they're like, we're one day closer to going home. And as beautiful, as a wonderful place as it was, we were waiting to go back and see our families. We were waiting to go back to the culture that we knew. We were waiting to go back home. That's where we were planning on going. And we had a long ways to wait. I still have this calendar. I couldn't find it. It's in a box somewhere, but I saved this calendar because we would pore over it. If there was a holiday, we'd circle the holiday, and all of us would get together, and we were counting down the days until we got to go home. Even though it was a little bit of paradise here on earth, it was a nice place, we couldn't wait to go home. And that wait seemed like forever. When you get up and you're having rice and ramen noodles for like the 5,000th time, you're like, one day closer. Olive Garden, Maggiano's. We would start thinking of all the places we want to eat when we get back. We waited and waited and waited, and it seemed like it took forever in order for us to finally get home. But then when we got home, we missed where we were at. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about going back and hanging out here for a while. It was a truly beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. When I think about waiting, I'm often reminded that I'm also waiting for something else. That Christians all over the world are waiting for the second coming of Jesus. And it seems like we've been waiting a long time. Time seems to crawl almost from the human perspective in relation to our waiting for Jesus to come. The first time I can find reference to the second coming in the Bible is in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, Old Testament. It says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. People have been looking forward to the second coming of Jesus for a very long time. There's a whole lot of other verses that you're probably a little more familiar with in regards to the second coming of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, how long? A little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. What does tarry mean? It means take a long time. He's going to be coming quickly, Hebrews. James chapter 5, verse 8, you also be patient. Is it easy to be patient? I am by nature not a very patient person. I blame my grandfather for that. He wasn't a very patient person. My mom often told me, you're just like your grandfather. Patience is not one of my greatest virtues, but the Bible here says, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand, which means it's coming soon. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, behold, I'm coming what? Quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, and who is this saying? This is Jesus talking. Surely I am coming quickly. And then the author tags on, amen, even so come Lord Jesus. And I can tag on an extra amen to that because I'm ready for Jesus to come as well. Let me jump back and we'll put this, I like this picture of the second coming. We'll leave that one on for the rest of the sermon. I like that picture. The Bible repeatedly says that Jesus is coming quickly. But yet it also says be patient and wait. You see, people have been waiting for Jesus to come for a very long time. God gives us things to look forward to show that Jesus is, in fact, coming soon. And to the Bible students, we see that happening. You remember the sermon I preached maybe a couple months ago on what Jesus said would happen with the sun, the moon, and the stars. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, Jesus mentioned all of these different things. Religious intolerance, a fun, interesting fact. The next island over from Ponape, where I lived, I went and visited this island. I was a senior class sponsor, and so they wanted to do a senior trip. Well, the island that we lived on was a circle, and it was only 10 miles across. So what are you going to do for a senior trip on an island where these kids have lived their whole lives and they've seen absolutely everything? So we jumped on a cargo ship and camped on the deck of a cargo ship and went out into the middle of the ocean and headed to a little sister island called Kosrae. And on Kosrae, we spent the weekend there. And on Sunday, you're not allowed to play any loud music. Everybody needs to go to church. And they enforce this with the police. Some things like that the Bible says to look for. Some places around the world, that's already going on. And we see some of these signs and we say, all right, Jesus has to be coming soon, and yet we are still here waiting. Seems like we've been waiting for a long time, and sometimes we're tempted to get a little impatient with God. Why is God taking so long? But when we ask that question, it insinuates that maybe we know a little bit better about what God should do than what God knows he should do. Is it wrong for us to want Jesus to come? No. Is it maybe a little wrong for us to be frustrated with him for not coming already? Yeah, I think so. Especially when there's a tragedy or a funeral, we wonder why we're still here. In our frustration, we think, man, we should be gone already. Why hasn't Jesus come yet? The promise of his second coming, we sing these songs, one of my favorite songs, We Have This Hope. Love that song. And we do have a hope. But sometimes, because Jesus hasn't come yet, that hope starts to diminish into a little bit of doubt. Is Jesus really coming back? We don't like to wait. We are, by nature, impatient. I want to share a story with you that you're probably familiar with, but it talks about somebody who had to wait. And quite a long time. We're not the only ones who've ever had to wait on God's promises. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 8. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. And it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I am sure glad I didn't live at that time. What a terrible time to live, right? If you lived in a society where somebody down the road said, yeah, those people, everything they thought of, everything they did was constantly evil. Glad I didn't live then. Verse 6, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Have mercy. What do people have to do to make God sorry he even made them? Verse 7, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." Verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Even when everybody around him was doing all kinds of evil stuff, not Noah and his family. In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 92, it says, "Amid the prevailing corruption, Methuselah, Noah, and many others labored to keep alive the tide of moral evil. 120 years before the flood, the Lord, by a holy angel, declared to Noah his purpose and directed him to build the ark. While building the ark, he was to preach that God would bring a flood of water upon the earth and destroy the wicked." How long did Noah preach for? 120 years. That means, let's say, if the flood happened today, Noah would have started preaching in 1895. 1895. He preached and built this ark for 120 years. And part of his sermons must have said, keep on waiting, it's coming. A little bit longer. You imagine his family had any discussions? Dad, we've been building this boat for like 75 years. 75 years. Are you sure this flood is going to come? And they waited, and they waited, and they waited 120 years. That's a long time to wait. He waited longer for this flood than any of us in this room will probably live. And he continued to wait. You know why? Because he believed in the promise of God that a flood was coming. Genesis chapter 7, verse 10. Turn your Bibles over. Genesis chapter 7, verse 10. So they finished building the ark. Verse 6, it says, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. That blows my mind a little bit. 600 years old. When we look at these people in the Bible who lived for so long, that always blows my mind. And a lot of critics of the Bible will say, see, nobody lives that long. The Bible can't be trusted for being accurate. But actually, there's quite a few things in nature that live a very, very long time. Anybody seen those tortoises that live off the coast of Ecuador? Those things live for like 200 years. There's all kinds of little things in nature. There's a little, I think it's a jellyfish, and they call it, what is the name they use for that? They say that it cycles and that it may not ever die, this jellyfish. And so nature shows that this is not really all that outlandish. The Bible does know what it's talking about here. Noah is 600 years old. All the animals come on. The door closes. Verse 10, and it came to pass after how many days? 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. That's a long time to wait. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 98, says, for 7 days after Noah and his family entered the ark, there appeared no sign of the coming storm. Not a raindrop. They sat in this boat for 7 days without moisture of any kind. And what was it like on the outside of the boat? One can only imagine. It was a stand-up comedy routine that Noah's expecting. 120 years you've been building this boat, huh, Noah? Well, you're in it. It's been a week. No rain. And they waited. And they waited. She continues in Patriarchs and Prophets. She says, during this period, their faith was tested. It was a time of triumph for the world without. The apparent delay confirmed them in the belief that Noah's message was a delusion and that the flood would never come. During this period, their faith was tested. It is a bit of a test in our faith to wait, isn't it? And to continue to wait. And sometimes doubt might creep into our minds. Man, I've been here 35 years. I've been here 55 years. I've been here 65, 70 years. Jesus hasn't come. Is he going to come? And Noah and his family waited. Verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all of the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So they wait for 7 days. Finally, the rain comes. And then they get on the boat and they wait some more for 40 days. Over a month, they're waiting for this flood to be over. How long is this flood going to last? And when the rain came, it was complete chaos. Must have been tense inside of that boat. They've been through a lot. This is the culmination of 120 years. So how old are his kids, Noah's kids? They're pretty old. Pretty old guys. They've been working. This is the culmination of their life's work. Then they go through this week, a tense week, where their faith is tested. Then the rain comes. Hallelujah, the rain came. God followed his promise. Then the boat comes up, and it's just crazy during this storm. This flood was absolutely wild,
like nothing anybody had ever seen before. Again, in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 99, it says, Satan himself, who was compelled to remain in the midst of the warring elements, feared for his own existence. The next page over, page 100, it says, angels that excel in strength were commissioned to preserve the ark. Isn't that cool? There had to have been a meeting in heaven, and they said, all right, you, and you. You guys are stronger than everybody else. They said they excel in strength. I want you to go down and make sure that this ark stays safe, because it's going to get wild down there. And so these angels came down and were all around this ark. As everything just broke loose, God's angels were there making sure that ark was okay. And it was worth the wait. God was true to his promise. Genesis 8, verse 6 through 13. So it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he made. Can you imagine them wanting to get out of that boat after 40 days with all those animals? That boat could not have smelled very good. They were probably a little claustrophobic. 40 days is a long time to be on a boat, even a big one. They're anxious to get out. Verse 7, he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark with him. And the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days. And again he sent out the dove from the ark. Man, there's a whole lot of waiting going on here, isn't there? They keep waiting and keep waiting, but they are seeing different signs of God's fulfillment of his promise all along the way. Then verse 11, the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And that was probably the best thing Noah had ever seen. Guys, come here. It's got an olive leaf in its mouth this time. Come here, check it out. I'm sure they inspected it and held it in their hand, and Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. In verse 12, so he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. It was worth the wait. And it was worth the next wait. And as they kept on waiting, it was still worth it. And God, all the way through, was keeping his promise that he'd made to Noah. Now, was it exceptionally fun to wait that long? Not really. Nobody likes to wait. Remember being a kid at Christmas? Did you want to wait to open your presents? It was kind of crazy. You'd see those presents there like 2 weeks ahead of time sometimes, and there they are. Can't touch them. You try and guess what they are. Well, that's a big box. I wonder what that could be. All right, I know that box. That's going to be clothes. No surprise there. But you have to wait. Nobody likes to wait. But yet, sometimes we're waiting because God is up to something. Matthew 24, verse 37, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. We're having to wait just a little bit too. But God's doing something while we're waiting that's totally, totally worth it. Waiting is a tough thing. But usually when we wait, you ever heard the term, good things come to those that wait. There was a man, it's a book, it's called The Man Who Couldn't Be Killed, I think is the name of the book. It's about a guy named Mr. Wong. He's a Seventh-day Adventist in China. Phenomenal book. He was arrested because of his faith, but he was arrested right as he had gotten engaged to be married. And he disappeared into an internment camp somewhere in China. And the story of his life is just incredible. The things that he went through, mind-blowing. His testimony, incredible. How God was with him and saved him multiple times when he was being tortured for his faith. He was in this camp a very, very long time. He was in this camp for 20 years. Stop and think about how old you would be 20 years from now. Life would change a lot, right? I'm 35. 20 years from now, I'll be 55. My daughter Callie, who's 7, will be 27. My son Josh, 25. My little Riley over there, she'll be 22 years old. Life would be completely different in 20 years. And so as he was being finally freed, he was wondering to himself, now what? His sweetheart, she's probably long married, probably has kids of her own. Maybe she's even a grandma now, who knows? Not sure of what to expect when he came out, he entered back into society nervous. As I would. Can you imagine? After 20 years of being in a prison camp, how would you even get back into society? And yet when he came back out, he found out that for 20 years, his fiancée had been waiting for him. She didn't know if he was dead or alive. And yet she waited with the hope that someday she would see him again, that they would be reunited and that they could finally be married. Imagine what the waiting was like for this woman. Not knowing what's happening to her fiancé, but knowing that it's probably not good. Around year 15, most of us probably would have long gone, given up hope. And yet she waited for her sweetheart. Was it worth the wait? You betcha. What a reunion. Can you imagine what that was like for him? You waited for me? For 20 years, you waited for me? Imagine what that moment would have been like. For him and for her. The joy of being reunited for her. For him. Can't even explain it. We're waiting on God. Waiting for him to come back. It's probably one of the things we as Christians look forward to the most and talk about the most, sing about the most. We want it to happen so bad, and there's a whole lot of different reasons. But I believe God knows what he's doing. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 through 9. This has great advice for us. It says this, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. For me, that's hard to wrap my head around. Because for me, 1,000 years sounds like 1,000 years. With the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." What a reminder. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. How often have we thought, man, he's slow in keeping his promise. Why am I still here? How has time lasted this long? Why is he slow in keeping his promise? The Bible says he's not slow in keeping his promise. He's up to a whole lot of good. He's trying to save as many people as he can. No matter how impatient I am to get out of here, I want God to finish his work and our work. God doesn't want anybody to perish and be lost, and neither do I. And if that means that I have to stick around here a little bit longer, I'm okay with that. Because I know God is working on other people's hearts so that they can have the same hope that I have in Jesus Christ. He said he'll come back, and I know he will. Don't let waiting get your faith down. Until happens. Let's keep telling people about the hope that we have in Jesus. Because the Bible says in Matthew, as soon as the gospel goes to the whole world, that's when Jesus is going to come. And so we can actually hasten that day a little bit by being the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, I think, man, I'd love Jesus to come today. I would love it if he came today. But you know what? In about 2.5 weeks, I'll be in the Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo with 40 kids, 41 kids, I think, now. These kids are going to be preaching 15 evangelistic series. More people are going to get to know about Jesus in the next few weeks down there. If Jesus came today, I'm willing to wait. If that means more people get to know about Jesus, I'm all right with waiting a little bit longer, because I believe God knows what he's doing. Until then, our minds can sort of be in heaven already a little bit. There's a book here. It's one of my favorite books. It's called Living the Life of Enoch. It's a compilation book of all the different things that Ellen White says about Enoch in the Bible. Fascinating book. It's one of my favorite books. And in this book, she says this: Enoch continued to grow more heavenly while communing with God. His face was radiant with a holy light, which would remain upon his countenance while instructing those who would hear his words of wisdom. His heavenly and dignified appearance struck the people with awe. The Lord loved Enoch because he steadfastly followed him and abhorred the iniquity and earnestly sought heavenly knowledge that he might do his will perfectly. I believe that in our preparation for going to heaven, our minds can already be on heavenly things and sort of a little bit in heaven. And as we focus on heavenly things, we will become, like this says, a little more heavenly. And so until Jesus does come bursting through the sky like this picture shows, keep your faith up. Because even though we wait a little bit longer, Jesus is coming again. And what a day that's going to be. There's so many reasons to look forward to that day. So many reasons. There's a lot of people I'm looking forward to see. Lots of people that have already passed away. There's lots of people I know that are still on this earth that I haven't seen in a long time. Looking forward to seeing them too. But more than anything, I'm looking forward to seeing my Jesus. What's that going to be like when we get to see Jesus? What's it going to be like? Today we're one day closer. Today we're one Sabbath closer to being with our Heavenly Father and to that second coming when Jesus comes through the clouds. So until that day, my friends, stay faithful to Jesus. Be of good hope. Be of good courage. Because when Jesus says something is going to happen, it happens in his good time as he sees fit. I trust that he knows what he's doing and will continue to wait. As we continue to wait, let's continue to share our faith that we have in Jesus so that more people can be with us singing in that heavenly choir as we sing praises to God in heaven. As we finish today, let's sing a little bit to our Heavenly Father. The song we're going to sing is "You Will See Your Lord A-Coming." And in the end of that, at the end, when it says that, it says, "In a few more days." How many days? I don't know. A few. That's a good answer. If someone tells you they know exactly how many days, don't listen to them. Say a few more days, you can believe it, because that's what the Bible says. I look forward to when that finally happens. Sometimes I try and imagine what it'll look like. And I'm sure my imagination does no justice to what it's really going to be like. And so that's why we sing these songs about heaven, about Jesus coming again, as a reminder to build our faith that indeed Jesus is coming again. Join us in standing as we sing this closing song. I've got a quick request. Could we go through "We Have This Hope," just the chorus one time? I love that, and it kind of, I was humming it through my mind as we were going through, and as these words were going through, I was thinking it'd be fun if we just ended with the chorus of "We Have This Hope." Would you mind doing that? I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs. Love that song. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we do have a hope that's burning in our hearts. And we look forward to the day when there's no more sadness or tears or suffering or death, like it says in Revelation. Lord, that's going to be a really good day. And we're looking forward to that day, Lord, but as you have stuff to finish, we will wait patiently as you finish the work that you've started. Lord, we're glad that we're one day closer to that day. And until it happens, Lord, keep us faithful to you. Keep us working and serving you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.